Amen. I can answer that question. I see more of her than you see. I see her at home. Yes, they do see Jesus in you. And I'm proud of the mother of my children and proud of the fine example our church has in a pastor's wife. I don't mind saying that. God, he either rewarded me or is punishing her for something. Putting us together. 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings 3. We're leaving our regular study for Mother's Day this morning and using a story that I bet you've never heard used for Mother's Day and maybe never again. We'll see how it goes. Will the real mom please stand up? We had them all stand up here a little bit ago. And 1 Kings 3, beginning in verse 16. Well, hold your place there. We'll come to that in a moment. Just a little icebreaker here. Let me tell you about the evolution of mothers. You know, the evolution of mothers. You know we don't believe in evolution. But if evolution were true, mothers would have more than two hands, wouldn't they? Survival of the fittest, they would have to have more. Here are some of the ways that mothers evolve. In other words, you have a first child, but then you have a second child, you go on to more than two children. Here's how mothers evolve. Their clothes, first of all. With your first baby, you began wearing maternity clothes as soon as your doctor confirmed you were pregnant. With your second baby, you wore your regular clothes as long as you could possibly fit into them. And for your third baby, your maternity clothes were your regular clothes. Inappropriate? Let's try another one then. Preparing for birth. First baby, you practiced your breathing religiously. Second baby, you didn't bother practicing because you remember last time, breathing didn't do a thing. Third baby, in your first visit to your OB, you schedule the epidural. Baby clothes. Baby clothes. First baby, you pre-washed all your newborn's clothes. You color-coordinated them. You folded them so neatly in the baby's little bureau. Second baby, you checked to make sure that the clothes are clean and you discarded the ones with the darkest stains. Third baby, boys can wear pink, can't they? Some of the third babies are looking up at their moms right now going, hey. How about worries? The worries of a mom. First baby, at the first sign of distress, the first whimper, the first frown, you pick up the baby. Second baby, you pick the baby up if her wails threaten to wake up the newborn. Third baby, you teach your three-year-old how to rewind the swing. Pacifier. Pacifier. First baby, if the pacifier falls on the floor, what do? Oh, you put that thing away, go home, wash and boil it. You may have to throw it out and buy a new one. Second baby, pacifier falls on the floor, squirt it off with some juice from the baby's bottle. Third baby, wipe it off on your shirt, stick it back in there. They'll get over it. Build up immunities. Diapering. Diapering. First baby, you change the baby's diaper every hour, whether they need it or not. Second baby, you change the baby's diaper if no one else notices the need within 1 hour. Third baby, you wait till others start to complain about the smell or you see it sagging to their knees. And finally, at home. First baby, you spend a good bit of every day just gazing at the child. Second baby, you spend a good bit of every day watching to be sure that your older child isn't squeezing or poking your child. Third baby, you spend a good bit of every day hiding from the children. All right, now let's go to our text. And the king in our text is Solomon, verse 16. Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king. Yes, it's Mother's Day. Yes, we're going to talk about harlots today. They stood before the king, verse 17, and the one woman said, O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also. So they both had a baby. We were together, there was no stranger with us in the house. 19, and this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. What's that? She was nursing or whatever and rolled over on the child, didn't wake up. Verse 20, and she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept and laid it in her bosom and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. And the other woman said, Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus spake they before the king. And in verse 23, the king says, Okay, let me get this straight. Verse 24, and the king said, Bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, Divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other. Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my Lord, then give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, Let it be neither mine nor thine. Then the king answered and said, Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. And all Israel heard about his wisdom, they feared. Verse 28 says. What a classic story, first of all. It is a classic. But you know one of the problems with classic Bible stories? Is we usually learn the primary lesson, which in this case is God answered Solomon's prayer for wisdom, and there was great wisdom in his answer there. The whole land talked about it. What a wise answer. What an incredible way of coming out with the truth. We need judges like that today, by the way. Well, we often, with these great Bible stories, only learn that primary lesson and fail to see the rest of the story. And there's a lot more in this story. The story provides some morals of motherhood right here from a very unlikely source, I know. And the first moral of motherhood is there is no such thing as a perfect mother. There is no such thing as a perfect mother. We've set the bar a little too high, I would say. Now, this message is not to drag any mothers down, but to build them up. No one needs to be treated with more tenderness than our mother. Perhaps no one in our life is more caring, always, unconditionally, more conscientious of us and our feelings than our mother. And sometimes we are too hard on them, and oftentimes, mothers, you're too hard on yourself. You deserve this day, but you deserve a lot more days like this day because of the other 364 and what they're like. Even today, I woke up this morning and I realized my wife had a very stressful schedule all day, and I said, Enjoy this day off. And she just laughed because every day, even Mother's Day, they have so much on them. Well, the two mothers in this story were prostitutes. Their babies were evidently conceived under sinful circumstances. And this story grabs us for that reason. It makes you sit up in your church pew and take notice, doesn't it? Why did Solomon, king over God's chosen people, even take any time to worry with two harlots? These women and the sinful men who paid for their services, these women were living out of God's will. The fact that women like this even had access to go and talk to the king in his courts, that they even had access to the king's throne, that fact is amazing. But really not nearly as amazing as the fact that any of us sinners have access to God's throne the way that we do. Solomon was concerned about these two women, evidently, because God was concerned about them. He laid it on his heart as he gave him that wisdom to make this judgment. Solomon was concerned. Why? Because he knew that God was concerned about them, and they were harlots. Now, You know me, I don't have to convince you that I believe the church should stand for moral purity. But let me remind you that the church today needs to stand for forgiveness and restoration as well. We need to be about more than just standards, but sharing God's love and His forgiveness and His help for those who need it. If you are a sinner, you're in the right place. I am proud to pastor a church that is a hospital for sinners, not a rest home for saints.
Amen.
I love that about our church.
Yes.
You know? Well, these women were not living up to God's ideals, yet He still loved them. Now, if any of us had to wait for God to love us based on our performance, if His love was given if we performed well enough, well, we'd be out of luck, wouldn't we? There's no such thing as a perfect mother. There's no perfect among the rest of us either. And if there's anyone in the world whom we should be willing to overlook the faults of, it should be our mother. Why? Because she overlooks so many of our faults, just as God our Father does. So we need to lighten up on mom a little. Moms need to lighten up on themselves a little. And let's try to do more of it on days that aren't set aside as this holiday. Moms need to laugh. Moms deserve to have a good time sometimes. Here's a few little one-liners for you. This is real, actual, authentic letters written by kids to God. Kids wrote these letters to God. Here's the first one. Dear God, I read the Bible. What does begat mean? Nobody will tell me. Love, Allison. Dear God, did you mean for the giraffe to look like that, or was it an accident? Dear God, I went to this wedding and they kissed right in church. Is that okay? Dear God, thank you for the baby brother, but what I prayed for was a puppy. Dear God, please send me a pony. I never asked for anything before. You can look it up. Dear God, please send Dennis Clark to a different camp this year. Dear God, I think about you sometimes, even when I'm not praying. I like that. Dear God, I bet it's very hard for you to love everybody in the world. There's only four in my family, and I can't do it. Dear God, I didn't think orange went with purple until I saw the sunset you made on Tuesday. Thanks, that was cool. These are authentic letters that make any mother smile, and every day mothers have their heartstrings tugged by something their child says for the first time, cute little things, something they do. They see their daddy in them, or they see them being ornery or whatever, and it just makes a mother smile. Well, in case you don't feel like you've got something to smile about, you do, and make it a regular habit. Life's too short. God is too good to go around frowning all the time. Mothers deserve a smile. Here's another moral of motherhood from this story. Number two, God has answers to mothers' problems. There's no perfect mothers, that's number one. And God has answers to mothers' problems. We get that from this story as well. Don't look for stress-free motherhood. It doesn't exist. From the pains of giving birth to the struggles of child-rearing to grandchildren to the empty nest, you know, motherhood is stressful. You don't have to be a mother to know it. All you have to have is a mother yourself to know it. Now, once again, this message is not mentioned to discourage anyone at all. There's good news. God is willing and able to assist moms in need with the problems that you encounter. God has the answers to a mother's problems. God didn't give Solomon wisdom just so people would be in awe about it. You know that? Think about that. Why did God give Solomon wisdom? First of all, He gave it because He asked it not for Himself. He didn't ask for riches or fame or anything like that. So God gave him riches and fame and what he asked for, more wisdom than any man who'd ever walked the earth. God didn't give him this wisdom so people would ooh and ah standing around in his courts. He gave Solomon this wisdom for a purpose. Think about it. God not only loved those two harlot mothers, He also loved the little baby in this story. And God, I believe, dispatched His wisdom to the King Solomon to save that child, to really save that child. God has wisdom. God's got wisdom to spare for those of us who need it, fathers and mothers alike. Parenting responsibilities, unbelievable today. But He can guide, He can provide for mothers in all kinds of life situations. Single moms, adoptive moms, stepmoms, moms with special situations, moms with special needs children. Let me tell you, God gives the grace and will match you up just perfectly with your child. Kids today, really all kids have special needs. And how special that God provides a special mom for each one. God has the wisdom for you, for the task. You are up to it. He can teach you what to do and what to say in every situation. Like that mom who was tucking her small boy into bed one summer night during a violent thunderstorm. She's tucking her boy into bed. She was just about to turn out the light when he asked with a tremor in his voice, "Mommy, will you sleep with me tonight?" The mother smiled, gave him a reassuring hug. She said, "It'll be all right." "I can't, dear. I've got to go sleep with Daddy." A long silence was broken at last by his shaky little voice. "The big sissy." Probably not a true story. Third lesson. A moral of motherhood. Okay? There's no perfect moms, number one. Number two, God will give you the wisdom and help in problems of motherhood. Number three, definitely, there's nothing like a mother's love. There is nothing like a mother's love. Now, that's not very funny, is it? Let's go on to the next slide. I thought it was funny at first. Standing here on Mother's Day, not suddenly not so funny. It was easy to see who wasn't the real mom. It's very easy for the king to see who wasn't the real mom. Why? Because the real mother in this story would rather see another woman raise her child than see it split in two. And you've got to be willing to put up with some things to be a good mother. You've got to be willing to make some personal sacrifice. I don't know of anything that compares in humanity with the personal sacrifice of motherhood. It's critical. It's a pivotal, foundational part of motherhood. You begin, mom, by sacrificing your own body, by carrying the child around in your womb for 9 months. Personal sacrifice. Can I just say today, none of us ought to ever get over that sacrifice. We should never get over that sacrifice. Can I have an amen from the ladies? We should always be thankful for what she did in carrying and delivering us. I don't know anyone else who would love me enough to carry me around for 9 months. Especially today, you couldn't make it for 9 seconds. But a mother's sacrifice doesn't end there. They keep on giving. That sacrifice just snowballs over the years as more and more kids come along, as more and more stresses come along. When ours were little, we said we look forward to them being the age they are today when it'll be less stressful. No. I look at you who've got teens and say, "Oh man, that's going to happen to me too. You're going to be a teenager." And I remember what it was like after that. So the stress just continues. The sacrifice snowballs and continues. They keep on giving and giving and giving like the Energizer Bunny. They give up sleep for those midnight feedings. They give up personal goals of their own to help their children achieve their goals and have something better than they have. Oh, mothers could be self-absorbed if they wanted to, focused on making a better life for themselves, but that's not in their nature. It's all about how to get my kids in better shape than I am in. Ask yourself how many times you got a new outfit while mom wore the same old clothes. How many times she gave you the last helping at supper or what was left on her plate, making sure that you weren't hungry. Here's to you, mother. Here's to you, moms. Here's to all the mothers who have sat up all night with sick toddlers in their arms, wiping up barf filled with Oscar Mayer wieners and cherry Kool-Aid, saying, "It's okay, honey. Mommy's here." Let's have our next slide. Here's to you, mom. Here's to all the mothers who show up at work with that spit up in their hair and milk stains on their blouses and lots of diapers in their purses. Here's to all the mothers who froze their buns off on metal bleachers at football or soccer games so that when their child asked, "Did you see me?" they could say, "Of course, I wouldn't have missed it for the world." Here's to all the mothers who sat down with their children and explained all about making babies. And here's to all the mothers who so wanted to but just couldn't. Here's to all the mothers who read Goodnight Moon twice a night for a year and then read it again just one more time. Here's to all the mothers who taught their children to tie their shoelaces before they started school, and to all the mothers who opted for Velcro as well. Here's to all the moms whose heads turn automatically when a little voice calls mom in a crowd, even though they know their child is at home. Here's to mothers whose children have gone astray. Here's to you mothers who can't find the words to reach them. Here's to the mothers who bite their lips until they bleed when their 14-year-olds come home with their hair dyed green. Here's to you. Here's to the mothers who gave birth to babies that they'll never see. And here's to those mothers who took those babies and gave them homes. Here's to mothers who put pinwheels and teddy bears on tiny little graves. Here's to mothers of children who have limitations and special needs. Your freedom has been exchanged for cherished service of love. Here's to those who have lost their mothers and would give anything if only they could take them out to lunch this afternoon. Here's to young mothers stumbling through diaper changes, sleep deprivation. Here's to mature mothers that are struggling with letting go. Here's to working mothers and stay-at-home mothers, single mothers, married mothers, mothers with money and without money. Here's to you all. We honor moms. We honor mom on this day. Thanks for all the giving that you do. Thanks for all the sacrificing that you do. You remind us of God, who is sacrificial and gives us so much. He who gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, before this is Mother's Day, this is the Lord's Day. And with no one looking on, we honor the Lord today. But I believe the Lord is saying today, if you really want to honor me today, honor mom, especially if you've still got her. Honor mom. And make a decision how we can keep this going in a much better way throughout the year. That'll honor the Lord today. I'll tell you what else will honor the Lord today. He who gave His Son sacrificially for you. If you got saved today, if you're here and you're not 100% sure that you've been saved, a sacrificial love from God the Father flowed in His Son, and blood flowed down that cross to wash away all our sins. God loves you. Jesus died for you. He sacrificed everything for you. And if you want to be saved, you can be saved today. If you're here today and like me, you just needed this reminder of appreciation for your mom or for the mother of your children, let's really show it to them. Let's really show it to them. And naturally, we're going to show it today, but I think they're going to be watching. Are they going to forget this week? Are they going to go back to the way that they sometimes treat me? Oh, let's surprise them. with a gift that keeps on giving all year long. If you're here today and you need to be saved, then we'll invite you to come meet me here at the front. No one will be looking on. But otherwise, to a Christian crowd like this, full of some wonderful mothers, we're going to open up this altar for you today to just reach over and take her by the hand and say, "Come on, Mom, I want to come thank God for you, and I want you to hear this." And if you can't hold her hand, then put a hand on her shoulder or whatever it takes. Let's honor the Lord by honoring Mom today. Lord, this morning, we're thankful for your goodness, for your salvation, which came at such high sacrifice. Thank you for our mothers. May we love them while we've got them. May we honor them all year long is our prayer in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let's stand quietly and reverently. There she stands. There's her hand. Here's the altar. Let's do it today. Oh, I wish my mom was here. Is yours here right now? Go ahead and bring her down the aisle. Yeah, that's right. Wherever she is, just go to her. Boy, there's many who would just give anything if she was standing in the same room. Maybe you need to adopt a mom here, or adopt a child. As God leads you, you come use this altar today. And if you're here today and you need to be saved, I'm right here at the front. Though I can't save you, we can help you get saved. Would you come meet me here? Some of us need to go make some phone calls. It's a beautiful thing. Lots of arms around necks and hands on shoulders. What a precious relationship. Thank God for it. Maybe you're a mom and you need to come pray for your kids. Maybe they're not here, out of church or whatever. You're welcome to use this altar today. Amen. And all God's people said, amen. Once again,